Beginning of chapter 19, the question of divorce, the question of remarriage, the question that continues to rage, and of course trying to trick Jesus, to trap him. You saw how he dealt with it, what he had to say. You saw that his disciples were just, as soon as he says some things, his disciples, because we don't ever change, well, we've got an opinion. Okay, if this is this, then this has to be this. And Jesus said, not necessarily. Don't figure because this is this, that this over here has to be this. No, not necessarily, Jesus says. They said, well, if everything is so difficult, it's better for nobody to get married. No, that's not the point at all. Marriage was God's idea. It's a good thing, contrary to what you read in here, contrary to what many married people are telling you. It's a good thing. Then, of course, they tried to run the children off, and he said, let the little children come to me, and don't forbid them. It's kind of interesting when I hear parents say, well, the reason we come to church is our kids like the Sunday school. You know, like, that's good, and they're really impressed with our Sunday school, and it is very good. But parents, you need Jesus too. Neener, neener. The truth is, we all need Jesus. So do the children. Bring them, of course. But we all need the Lord. And then, you remember that after the fact, we begin in chapter 6, or in chapter 19, verse 16. Behold, after these incidents, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Good master, what can I do? What good thing can I do to get eternal life? And Jesus answered him back and said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus is giving him an opportunity to recognize what he's saying. Why are you calling me good? We all know the Bible says there is none good, no, not one, except God. God is good. Do you think I'm God? Jesus is saying. Are you recognizing what is the truth? I am God. Why are you saying that? But now to continue on, Jesus says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Are you looking for something good to do? Oh, what good thing can I do, good master? Oh, you want to do a good thing? Keep God's commandments. Keep the commandments. And the young man said to him, which ones? Now, that's not a foolish question. Because remember, there are the Ten Commandments. And then there's the Mishnah. There's the law, the rabbis and the scribes and the Sadducees. They wrote down some laws, and you can find in the Mishnah well over 600 written. Now, those weren't from God. Those were just what they decided. You need to do this. You got to have one of those. Can't kick your dog on a certain day. And all the laws that they came up with. And so he says, I'm trying to find something good to do to get myself into heaven, into the kingdom. What good thing can I do? Jesus says, keep the commandments. And he goes, man, there's lots of them. There's the law that Moses brought us, the Ten Commandments. But which ones? And Jesus answered him in verse 18 and said this, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's not all the Ten Commandments. Those are the ones those are the commandments that have to do with man's relationship to man. Your relationship to each other. He gives them these simple commandments. He says, just keep those. Your hands will be full. Just the relationship, the commandments that deal with the relationship between, interpersonal relationship. Between man and his fellow man. Woman and her fellow woman. People and their fellow people. It's a difficult language. It's easy. There's lots of ways to say this. You notice a couple of things. First of all, notice this man saw something missing in his life. So he says, what good thing can I do? Something's not good. Something's not right. And so he says, what good thing can I do, good master, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Which ones? Jesus gives him the ones that have to deal with man's relationship to other people. And here's his answer. The young man said unto him, in verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up, but something is still missing.
I've done that already.
How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of us could say that? Jesus says, don't murder. And you, how many could say, I never have, because Jesus already told us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you're angry with your brother in your heart, you've committed murder already. never mind. And don't commit adultery. If you look on a man or a woman to lust, you've committed adultery. Well, but this young man says, I kept all those from my youth up. I'm going to show you he didn't. Jesus is going to show him he didn't. But it's a nice thought. In his own heart, he thought he did. He's doing his best. He's trying to be good. Are you? He's trying to be good now. Some people told me that the reason that older people read their Bible more is because they're cramming for the final. You know, they're getting ready for the final. I wonder. Trying to do a good thing? It's good to read your Bible. Jesus is going to show him now. He hasn't kept them all, but he says, I kept them all. What do I lack? Some of you, maybe you've been trying to be good. You're doing everything right. You've cleaned up your language. You've cleaned up your act. You're pretty good at work. You're not stealing half what you used to. It's really getting good. And you say in your heart, without anybody listening, something seems to be missing. But something's missing. And Jesus tells him what's missing. He says, I kept that from my youth up. What do I lack? Something's wrong. What is it? Jesus said to him, verse 21, if you will be complete, if you want to finish this whole job here, go and sell everything that you have, everything, and give the money, give the proceeds to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know what Jesus just said? There's something in a way. You still lack one thing, and here's what it is. You say that you love your neighbors yourself, but you don't really. If you did, you'd recognize they were poor, and you would do something about it, and you're doing nothing about it. Jesus just showed him the commandment was broken. But he could have said, wait a minute, your money is in your way. Your possessions are in your way. And so you're breaking the first commandment. I'm the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You've got something between you and God. Jesus was showing him, no matter how good you think you are, there's still something lacking, and here's what it is. Something is standing between you and me. In this man's case, it was his stuff. Is it a sin to have stuff? No. We all know that. We have stuff. You just live in a house for 2 years and try to move. Stuff just happens, doesn't it? All of a sudden, there is stuff, and you didn't get it. Somehow someone sneaked in and put it there. And then go down to our basement and I say, said my wife, a thief came in and filled our basement with stuff. And now we have to move and it takes a bigger truck each time and we're not collecting. It just happens to us. Is it a sin to have it? No. But in this man's case, it stood between him and the Lord. What stands between you and the Lord? Maybe it's not your stuff. Maybe you got a lot of stuff, but that stuff, it doesn't hold a high place. Oh, you know, you could take it or leave it. And so we knew a lady, Gina and I, and she was the nicest lady, but you had to be careful what you said in front of her. I have never seen anything like it in my life. Don't you ever mention you like that watch she's wearing. I mean, you know how you try to make chat? Nice watch. You got to take it with you now. She won't let you out of the house unless you take it. I was sitting there one day, and we were having a little snack, and I looked at the table, and I don't know what possessed me. I should have known better. I said, this is really a nice table. It was made of oak. And I noticed it for the first time. We'd been to her house thousands of times, years. And I looked, and I thought, this thing is solid oak. And I said to her, this is a nice table. She goes, take it. No, I didn't mean that. I meant, take it. We couldn't fit it in our car. She's got a truck over, and she said, we got our table. We couldn't, I mean, you try to give it back, you can't. See, you take the table back, and it comes back with more chairs. Nice lady. So it's not the stuff. It's what's standing between you and your Lord. He says, I've done all that, but something lacking. Jesus says, there's something between you and me. There's something in the way. You've got something that's holding you back from me. And in this man's case, it was stuff. in my case, in my earlier days, it was my music career. It was holding me back. You'd say, are you born again? I'd say, yes. If you die, would you go to heaven? Yes. Are you walking as close with the Lord as you could? I can't, because my job, my career isn't letting me. And I wouldn't let it go. And one day God said, look, you need to come on with me or go on with this. Is it wrong to have a music career? Of course not. But it was standing in the way of me and my Lord. And He was saying, there's one thing you lack. If you really want this to be complete, I've called you, but I can't use you until you're ready to come on. And there was music holding me back. Is your career holding you back? Is it a sin to have a career? No. But sometimes it stands between you and your walk with the Lord. How about this? How about your status in society? Sometimes your status holds you back from walking with Him. There's something that, Lord, there's something just not right. Something's holding me back. The Lord knows what it is, and He'll tell you if you ask Him. What is it that I still lack? I'm doing what you want. I'm following Him. I'm trying to walk. Well, there's something you lack. How about the sins of pride, jealousy, greed, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness? Oh, Lord, I'm going to walk with You, but I'm never going to forgive that girl, that guy, for what they did to me. As long as I live, I won't forget it. I'll do anything you want, but I'm never going to. It's stopping you now from that close walk. It's not complete now. He loves you, but it's not complete. Let it go. It's standing in your way. How about hobbies? Is it a sin to have a hobby? If your hobbies are explosives, I guess it could be a problem. But if you got a logical hobby, your hobby could stand between you and the Lord. It could keep you from walking full on with God. So could your opinions. Opinions can keep you out. So can stubbornness. I just don't care. I know I'm right. I've always been right. And I happen to be right in this case too. And so I'm not letting this go. And I can't, for some reason, seem to be close. Something is lacking. Guilt. Sometimes guilt. I've been so gross. People say, I couldn't walk with God. I don't even try anymore because I have been so ugly and so evil. He couldn't possibly. And so it keeps you from being complete and full on. You know, here's one that you don't think of. Church membership keeps you. Sometimes it becomes in between you and God. Talk to people, say, well, I don't believe Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer like my church teaches, but the truth is, I'm a member there, they love me, my friends are there, I can't really let go. I mean, it's like family, and so I stay. Wait a minute, it's keeping you from a complete walk. What's keeping you? This man, it was his stuff. And notice, he really did not love his neighbor as himself. Because the poor, Jesus said, sell all you've got, because it's standing between me and you. He may never tell you to sell all you've got. He may just tell you to drop the attitude. He may just say to you, forgive. He may just say to you, listen, your career has become so important to you that you've forgotten your first love. Does He want you to quit your career? Not necessarily, but He wants it to take its place, its proper place. Something is lacking. Something's up. If you want to be complete, verse 21, go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Everybody knows where He's going. He's been telling us for the last few chapters, where is he going? He's going to the cross. He's going to die. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the Romans, into the Gentiles, and He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. They're going to bury Him, and on the third day He's going to rise again. Come, let's go to Jerusalem. We're going to die. So He says to this man, you get rid of all your stuff because it's in the way of your own heart, and you give it to the poor, you got treasure in heaven, and come and let's go die. Follow me. But the young man, when he heard that saying, verse 22 says, he went away sorrowful, for he had a lot of stuff. As King James says, great possessions. He wasn't willing to get that out of the way between he and the Lord. Many people today, they don't have a walk because they aren't willing to be complete. If you love Him, and believe me, He loves you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of it. He'll do the job. But you need to trust Him and walk in faith. So this young man walks away. And Jesus said to his disciples as they watched this young man walk away, a rich young man, Jesus says, "Truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." It is hard for a rich man to get into heaven. "And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I've read commentaries that talk about the gates of Jerusalem, and inside a gate there's a little gate called a needle, and camels get it. No such thing. It's not true. What's he saying? He's saying it's impossible to enter the kingdom if you're rich. Now think about it for a second. Can't be done. A literal camel and a literal needle. It can't be done. The expression in those days, the camel was the largest animal that the Israelites dealt with. But the original expression was this: it's easier for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle than for whatever came next. So Jesus takes that term and says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. What's he saying? It is impossible. Just as impossible it is for any poor person or anybody in between. What's he communicating? You, rich or poor or anything in between, have got to come to Jesus with nothing. Not offering anything, not having any kind of gimmick. You must come, I must come, just simply saying, I have nothing. Without you, I am nothing. I have no way to enter into the kingdom. I have no way to eternal life without you. I come to you empty-handed. I come to you, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, some people think they're going to enter into heaven because of who they are and what they have. I mean, it's obvious why Jesus saved some people, isn't it? You take a look at them and they're so gifted. They can just do anything. Those kind of people freak you out, don't they? You say, hey, can you play the guitar? Yeah. Can you play the banjo? Yeah. And I can rebuild a car engine at the same time while taking care of infants. You think, is there anything you can't do? And they go, well, I can't think of anything. I'm a rocket scientist and I have a degree in PhD and stuff. And you think, and you ever seen those people? And then there's me and you. What can you do? I can hold the door open if people want to leave. No, you're not smart enough. We'll get somebody else. And then we need to be able to come to Jesus just like that. Lord, I'm poor. I can't earn your love or the salvation. I can't pay for it. I can't work to be good enough to get it. I could never pay you back once you've given it to me. I come to you empty. And that's what Jesus was saying to that man. You need to get everything out of the way and come just as I am. If you think you could get in because of what you have or what you've done or who you are, you haven't become poor in spirit yet. You got to recognize. When you realize you are a sinner with nothing to offer God in exchange for eternal life, you're in a great place. When you say, Lord, I have nothing. All I have is me. I want to give you my life. Take my life. Let me be born again and use me. Make something out of this. And he will. See, as long as you feel you're good enough, or as long as you feel like you can change your ways enough, or as long as you think you can pay your way in, you might as well try to put a camel through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. It can't be done. There's no hope. Now, the rabbis, the Pharisees taught, God bestows riches on the ones he loves. You ever heard that kind of teaching? Well, you ought to prosper and you ought to get rich because, you see, if God loves you, you'll get rich. I mean, that teaching's common today. The Pharisees taught that God bestows riches on the ones he loved. Now, the disciples believed that. Now, Jesus is saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And the disciples just say exactly what you and I are thinking. The disciples said this, verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed. And they said this, who then can be saved? The poor can't get in. The poor are losers. The rich can't get in. Nobody can get in, Lord. It's impossible. Then who can be saved? And Jesus answers, and says, "You're right, my disciples. With men, it is impossible. There is no possible way that any of us could ever get ourselves saved. It's impossible. It can't be done." But there's good news. The verse doesn't stop there. He says, "With God, anything is possible. All things are possible." God could do it. He could save a poor man, a middle class. He could save rich. He could save anybody. All you got to do is come to Him just as I am, offering nothing but just saying, "Here am I. Save my life. I have sinned and come short of Your glory. I have done these things. I confess to You." As long as I think I can do it myself, Jesus says, it's impossible. It can't be done. But with God, all things are possible. You were thinking all the time, you're trying to be good because your parents told you that, or somebody you saw at church, you got invited to church and everybody else seemed to be nice, and so you thought, I'll try and be nice too. And you're knowing it doesn't seem to work, and you're a little frustrated, and you're thinking, I can't do it. I don't think I can. I'm not sure. I'll never be as good as those people that go to church. I can't do this. You're right. They're not good either. They just look nice. He loves you. He died and shed His blood on the cross that your sins would be washed away. What do you have to do? Pay Him a certain amount of money? Clean up your act? Clean up your language? Be nice to really young people and really old people, and the ones in between will take care of themselves? What do you got to do? Come to Jesus just as you are. I have nothing, but I want life. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, nothing. Believe on Me. Believe on Him and the One whom He has sent. You ask Jesus into your heart. If you don't know the words to use, here's the word. Yes. Say yes to Jesus. You'll have eternal life. He would never turn you away. Once you realize, I'm poor. I have nothing to give. I'm headed for trouble. I'm headed for destruction. I have nothing. I'm losing, and I have no way to get help. The Savior says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You can have life. Those of you who say, I've been walking with Him for quite a while now, but you know, it seems like something's missing, something's lacking. Just seek the Lord. He will show you whatever it is. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's stuff. Maybe it's, well, I don't know. I couldn't name it for you. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's your health. You're so into your health that you don't have time to really get into God. Whatever's keeping you from Him, most of those things aren't sin. They just sometimes, you get your priorities out of whack, get them back where they belong and seek the Lord. He'll show you what it is. And Peter, he speaks for everybody always. I like him. Peter says, you know, Lord, look, behold, we have forsaken everything. They watch this man walk off who isn't willing to do it, doesn't think he can, this poor, rich, young ruler. And as he's walking away, Peter says, Lord, behold, we have forsaken everything. We followed You. What's going to happen to us? What shall we have there for? We've given up. Peter and his brother, they gave up their fishing business. They may not have gotten rich, but the truth is they had a successful business. They were earning a living. They could feed their families. They could at least pay their bills. And they gave that up. James and John, same idea. Matthew was ripping people off big time. He was making lots of money. He was well educated. He gave that all up. You know, Thomas, he was in the doubting game. And he gave all that up. And Paul, the apostle, gave up his college career and all the PhD and everything he had. And he gave it up just to become, said, I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I would like to share. Peter says, we gave it all up. We did that, Lord. Nothing is standing between us. But the truth is, what's going to happen to us now? What are You saying? And Jesus said to him, He said, truly, I say unto you, you which have followed Me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You 12? Excuse Judas. There'll be 12. either Matthias or Paul, depending upon how you like to fight. But there'll be 12, and they're going to sit on the thrones. They are going to be given a position of authority because they were willing to give it all, turn it all over. But not just those 12. Look, it goes on and talks about you and me. Everyone that has forsaken homes, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. You'll be given back here on this earth and shall inherit eternal life. In the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, Mark adds this, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, and in the world to come, eternal life. People say, how does that work? It's not if I give God 10 bucks, he gives me 100 back. That's not what he teaches here. What he's teaching me is simple. I remember a young couple. They prayed and they prayed and they got married. They wanted children. And they never could have children. And the doctors didn't understand why. They were both healthy, but they just couldn't have children. And they prayed, Lord, Lord, you look how many people are throwing theirs away. And here's a couple who wants one. Just one. They never could have their own. But they gave their lives to the Lord. And they said, Lord, just whatever you want, however you want it. If you talk to them today, say, do you have any children? They'll tell you. The wife will tell you right away, yes, on any given day, usually 180 to 200 children. You have that many? Yes. He's the principal of the school and she helps him, a Christian school. And they love those children like they're their own. And so they got over and above what they thought. I'm telling you something about you you may not know. If things got difficult in your life to where you couldn't eat, I'm telling you right now, your family here would take care of you. You inherit. They may not be the best looking around, but so what? Well, some of us are, aren't we? But they would take care of you. If your house for some reason was taken away, you couldn't afford it, or it burned down, or something went wrong, do you know that somebody in your family would give you a place to live, let you live with them if necessary? That's the way it works. You know, sometimes some of you tell me, you know, when I came to the Lord, my parents sort of thought, oh, I joined a cult, he's weird, he's starting to read his Bible, and people are saying, there's something wrong with you. And so your parents, it's like they almost like disowned you. And you say, I've lost my family. Oh, no, you haven't. Take a look around. Your family's a lot larger than it was before. And any time they could help you, you know they would. Some of you have experienced it. You didn't even tell them you weren't feeling well, and six people brought dinner to your door on the same night. For you, that was a problem. For us, we ate it all the same night. God has given to you. Sure, we give up. There are many things that we have to make sure aren't between us and the Lord, but He will take care of you. He always does. He always does. And that's what He says to Peter. Everyone shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I think, let's just say that in American, there's going to be many surprises in heaven. We'll be surprised at the rewards and somebody we thought would really be getting those rewards, and there'll be people coming up there, you've never heard of them in your life, they were unknown, they're just down here, and what they've been doing is praying, and the rewards, and all the suffering, and all the shame, and you know, a lot of times you think, well, the Apostle Paul, I mean, the guy, you know, he was right around 60 or so when he was writing some of these letters, and he was a big mess, his body was a lot older than that, because it had been beaten, it had been left in the water for days. Remember, that poor guy really went through it. You think, greater his rewards. Maybe so, but there may be someone who didn't even stand that kind of heat of the day, who maybe even does more. See, the first will be last, and the last first. We're going to stop there, but Jesus will talk to us about that in the next chapter. Many surprises in heaven. Down here, some of us who have everything may be surprised at how the rewards go when we get there at the Bema seat in heaven. Of those who were faithful and who even had less than you and I. Some who suffer now and you don't even know that they're suffering. They'll be right on up there up front. You didn't even realize it, and they'll be right on up there up front, first and last. It's kind of interesting how God's kingdom operates. As we worship just a bit before we close, if there's something between you and the Lord. You say, well, I believe He's God, and I believe all that stuff, but I don't know. Something seems to be lacking. Maybe you've never asked Him into your heart. Maybe you've never given up all and said, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've just never said, Jesus, come into my heart. You can do that this morning simply by saying, I open my heart. You said that you were knocking, wanting to come in. I open my heart. Come into my life. Maybe you're born again. And you know you are, and you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but somehow you sense there seems to be something missing, something lacking. Well, you know you're totally saved, but there are many times when things start to get in the way of the relationship. This is not the time to be walking far from the Lord, and I'll tell you why. Those of you that are walking far from Him, thinking, I might begin to obey. Listen, the devil has planted all kinds of landmines, and you don't know where they are. And you're going to get blowed up. You're going to get destroyed. You're going to really get hurt. You need to stay close to the Master. And you're saying, something seems to be lacking. Something seems to be not sitting exactly right, but I know I'm His. Seek the Lord. Search my heart, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. Search my heart. He'll show me. He'll show you. If I've put something in there that's sort of getting in between He and I, He still loves me, I'm still saved. But there are times when you just know, like this young man, something's lacking. If you've never accepted Jesus, ask Him into your heart. He's God. He died for the sins of the world. You and I all have sinned and come short of the glory. If you're willing to recognize that, you can have Jesus Christ this morning. If you are born again, sometimes something is holding you back. Seek the Lord. He Himself will show you what it is. And then, simple to take care of, confess it. Repent from it. If it's an attitude, if it's an emotion, if it's something else that He shows you, be willing to tell Him. As we worship just for a moment, it doesn't take hours, seconds, and you're right there, right where you belong. Free and squeaky clean once again, to ready to tackle whatever comes up next. Let's bow our heads together as we